Good day, and welcome to the Indian Hotels Company Limited Q1 FY 2021-2022 earnings call being hosted by Mr. Puneet Chhatwal, Managing Director and CEO of the Indian Hotels Company Limited, and Mr. Giridhar Sanjeevi, EVP and CFO of Indian Hotels Company Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Puneet Chhatwal. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with Giridhar Sanjeevi, our CFO. Let me begin the evening with reinforcing the good news which we got a few weeks ago. Taj was rated the world's strongest hotel brand by Brand Finance, a report scoring 89.7, and that is the highest score any brand has gotten. Also by Brand Finance, we were reported as the second strongest brand across all sectors in India and the strongest hospitality brand. This is a good endorsement for a brand which is 118th year in operation and a well-deserved recognition. Moving on, I think we see some light after darkness. Of course, we saw some light between 15th of November till end of February in the last financial year, but mostly the last 19 months period or 18 months have been full of darkness for the sector. Possibly the worst period the sector has ever seen in the last 100 years. However, now the global platform seems to be growing at and expected to grow at 5.6%. The second half of this financial year, an acceleration is projected, especially on the global employment, which obviously leads to more disposable income and more discretionary spend. Also on the India front, very recently, the RBI governor or the IMF projected our growth at 9.5%, and also the unemployment rate to decline from 11.9% to 9.2%. Of course, we can see some more light after a long or extended period of darkness. This slide we have taken from HVS, and in the month of June, they have shown that the rates have increased at 14%-16%. Occupancy increase is also at 12%-14%, and there is a RevPAR increase of almost 90%-95%. That is very consistent with the results that we report. There is an increase in domestic air traffic by 47% in June. Why do we talk here about June, whether it's HVS or us, is because again, the period of, you know, April and May was completely derailed by the second wave and the aftermath of second wave. Really June was the month when things started coming back. Thankfully, the period after getting a 4x growth in the number of cases, the period to bounce back after second wave was much shorter than what we saw at the outset of the pandemic. There is a month-on-month increase, therefore in all parameters, and the Q1 RevPAR recovery is obviously stronger than last year Q1 because last year entire Q1 was a washout with the sector mostly shut in all the regional markets as well as the international markets. Moving further on key performance highlights. I think this graph, the line below is our consolidated revenues and the line above is enterprise revenues. That clearly indicates if you look at the month of May, the dip took us down to as low as July, August of last year. The upswing is bringing it back to a period between November and December of last year. Actually, it would be fair to share here that because July is behind us, we have seen significant growth in July versus what we saw in April, May, June, of course, hampered through the second wave, which hit us very badly. I think this trend is expected to continue. I know a lot of you would want to ask this question. As far as visibility is there, which has become shorter, I think in the first 8 or 10 days of August, we are seeing a similar trend emerging. That's what this slide also depicts. Last year Q1, versus this year Q1, the revenues have more than doubled, and the Q2 revenue of last year was also exceeded by the revenue of Q1. And we believe that just July ends, you know, like half of August or 20 days of August would be good enough to get to these kind of revenue levels going forward. Further, I think it's very interesting to look at RevPAR as a percentage of last year. The RevPAR recovery in Goa was, as per STR, 260%, Rajasthan over 200%, same story in most of the cities. And when we look at it from the IHCL perspective, our recovery has been much stronger, which means we've been gaining a lot of market share. So also last year, our base was, you know, it was not as small as one would have expected. So, but when we show doubling, it's coming from a much larger base, and that is very well depicted in these figures, that Goa and Rajasthan and also all other markets continue to perform well for us in terms of how we have gained market share vis-a-vis the industry. On growing direct to customer, that is a non-OTA business, we have improved from almost 69% to 74% on the direct channels, and the same thing we see is because of some of the campaigns that we launched on cherishing togetherness, IHCL World of Privileges, our home delivery business with Qmin, our home stays with AMA, our burning your loyalty points. Some of these things have helped us get directly to the customer, and which has helped us in containing our costs. One thing, and as I said, containing our costs, if you look at our fixed expenses, we've been able to maintain them at 126 crores a month. Pre-COVID, they were at 163. Last year, they went down to 123. And this year there is a marginal increase, and that's a minimal creep given the kind of growth we are experiencing in not only different brands but also on a growth in terms of our hotels and the new openings that we are having. Further, when it comes to our staff to room ratio, for IHCL we have gone down for the entire group from 1.53 to 1.09. Ginger from 0.48 to 0.34, Vivanta from 1.48 to below 1, SeleQtions from almost 2 to 1.3, and for the Taj brand from 2.17 to 1.6. So this has been a good reduction, and as I said in the last call, I think, was that in Taj brand we also have the palaces and safaris, and to maintain a certain level of service, our ratios should not be compared with the others, because others do not have this kind of luxury that we offer in terms of a palace portfolio or a safari portfolio. So that makes the Taj numbers look a bit larger, but that is really also needed, because that kind of experience, those kind of rates that we charge are otherwise not possible. Something which really pleases us is this slide on corporate overhead, so that you see it was not a one-off last year. We were able to reduce our corporate overhead by 39%, and this year in the first quarter they are further down by 12% versus the Q1 of the year before. So I think that has worked well, and a corporate overhead per hotel has continued to decline, and it will even decline further because we have a lot of new openings in our pipeline. Now moving on to unlocking value in new brands and businesses. Ginger, reimagined Ginger has done very well for us. It achieved 60% of pre-COVID revenue even in Q1. You would recall last year for the full year, Ginger did 63%. So in Q1, that is, it's off to a good start. Because we are more and more also doing food and beverage on our own, there is a 3x increase in the F&B revenue and a decline in EBITDA losses by almost 85%. The TripAdvisor rating for the Ginger brand is at 4.87 of 5. And we were able to sell the Ginger in Mysore, so we entered into sale and manage pack. Very much in line with our strategy in becoming asset light and going into a 50-50 managed versus owned or leased portfolio. Moving on further, as you see on this picture, this project is well underway, the flagship Ginger at Santa Cruz. The building there, which was the old flight kitchen building, has been demolished. The basement works are on, and this is something which is very exciting. We hope to finish this in an 18-month period, and we believe this will really make a big difference to the standing, the positioning, and the perception of the brand going forward. In terms of our home delivery business, Qmin, I'm sure you're all intrigued to hear about it. This will be its first full fiscal year. Last year it had eight and a half months of a run. It was launched on the 25th of June, but today it is covered in 18 cities, 70 restaurants, and on 35 of our properties. Our enterprise revenue alone for first quarter on Qmin exceeded 30 crores. We have served 1.25 million customers till date, and more than 3 lakh app downloads have happened. And very interesting, in a 7 or 8 destinations outside of India, you can order through the Qmin app food for your family on various occasions, whether it's a festival or it's a birthday or it's a wedding anniversary, etc., as travel on the international level has been restricted. Going forward, I think it would also be nice to show you our first food truck. That Qmin food truck has already started operation, also launched on 25th of June to coincide with the launch of the home delivery the year before. And what we are expecting now is around 8 to 10 of this Qmin food trailers. Why trailers instead of trucks? We realize that trucks is not always easy in terms of permissions, but the trailers built and modeled like the truck are easy to park anywhere, and they work in a similar fashion from inside, just like the truck would work. So we are very excited. I think the first few deliveries are expected when it is definitely before we do the next quarter call with you. Going forward, also Anama, our homestay business, which is also relatively young. We already have a portfolio of 44 bungalows, of which 30 are in operation in 11 destinations and 5 states. These bungalows, as and when they're allowed to operate, are always operating at, you know, almost 100% occupancy, and they're in great destinations like the Chikmagalur area or the Munnar or Khandala, Lonavala. This is a picture of the latest one in Alibag, outside of Mumbai. And the next one you see is our Planters Estate in Munnar. So very excited. We are hoping to grow this brand exponentially also over the next couple of years. And very excited to have this in our portfolio, especially during the times of the pandemic. In order to achieve all this, we have been still focused on our key enablers and how to keep strengthening them. And one of those things which has been important for us is the employee vaccination drive. I would be happy to tell you that almost 100% of our employees have got the first dose of vaccine, and those aged above 45 is more than 70% who have got both the doses, and the total number of people who have got two vaccines is north of 30%, but we expect to get to 100 on that very soon, and as and when people are also eligible. We are also doing videos on responsibility, reliability, and resilience stories of our employees. We are celebrating them as our COVID warriors and recognizing them in an appropriate way for the contribution some of them made in different hotels across the globe. Further, we have launched a 4P program of preventing, protecting, providing and preserving all the help that we can give to all our stakeholders under the program of COVID care. Our Meals to Smile, which in the first phase we had delivered 3 million meals, in the second phase we have again done 1.5 million, until today we were also serving meals, especially in the state of Maharashtra, which were badly impacted by flooding. All these meals in the second wave have actually been done under the Qmin branding, and that is there is a reason for it, is that I think Qmin as a new brand from its inception must stand for its service and care to the community, and I think that way we are also able to get the name out and get the force behind it. Of course, we have also been still working, especially in the second wave, on the quarantine facilities. You must have all read, some of our hotels were converted into temporary hospital facilities, and we are still going ahead with our Task for Family Employee Assistance Program. These are employees of our contractors who would have possibly lost a job. I always give an example. If a limousine company has a limousine service contract, and if they cannot afford to have drivers as the demand for limousine has dropped, then those drivers have been assisted by the Taj executives and staff by contributing their salary, which went into the Taj Public Service Welfare Trust, and from there it was disbursed to almost 7,700 needy people across the country. At the same time, we have been driving the vaccination campaign. Not only is it is important for the nation, not only it is important for the society, but it is definitely fundamental to the business of hospitality, travel, and tourism. And that's why we are very strongly advocating, I'm vaccinated, I am safe. At the same time, now you see the pictures of all those meals that have been delivered in the second phase of Meals to Smile. And these are the pictures of some of the people who were recognized, some of our associates who were recognized under the COVID Warrior program, which I just alluded to. Moving forward, our financial performance, in short, before I hand over to my colleague Giridhar Sanjeevi, our revenue increased by 111% compared to the same quarter last year. Our EBITDA declined, negative EBITDA declined by 47% from minus 234 to minus 123 at the consolidated level. And when we look at the standalone, the revenues were up 93%. And almost a similar kind of a decline at 44% on the negative EBITDA. With that, I hand over to Giridhar Sanjeevi.
Thank you. Moving on, I think this is a snapshot of the financial performance. So we had a turnover in standalone of 226 crores and a 370 crores in consolidated, which is a doubling of the earlier quarter numbers in Q1 2020. And EBITDA did come down at a consolidated level to 123 crores negative and a PAT of minus 277 crores. I think what is worth noting is that in the previous year, we did have an exceptional of 82 crores, which contributed to the income in the previous year. That is not there. So on a like-for-like basis, we've improved from something like minus 360 crores to minus 277 crores. So that is the snapshot of the performance. And as we've always been mentioning, this year's Q1 has been like last year's Q2. In fact, it's been better than last year's Q2 And now as we see the performance trending in July, I think we believe that we will probably be one quarter ahead, as we have been mentioning, and that gives us a reason for hope in terms of the entire recovery action. This is a snapshot of the enterprise revenue. Enterprise, this is not consolidated. Enterprise revenue, the top box is the domestic hotels including Ginger, and enterprise means includes the management contract, and the bottom box is the international hotels, once again enterprise. If I just stick to the bar on the top right, I think what we are saying is that the light blue bar is the turnover last year, which was 15% of 1920, and in the dark blue bar is the current year Q1, which is 38% of Q1 1920. Similarly, at the bottom bar on the international hotels, we grew from 7% of 1920 to 37% of 1920. And qualitatively, this international growth is very significant for us because these are dollar revenues, and it goes a long way in terms of reducing costs and cash losses internationally. So to that extent, it's very nice to see the uptick in performance. Going to the next slide, I think we did speak earlier in the presentation about our performance being better than industry. Now we look at our own performance across the different cities in India. It is, you can see for each of the key cities, there has been a significant uplift in the performance, whether it is Bombay or Goa or any of those states, whether business towns or the leisure cities, all of them have significantly performed better than last year Q1. Moving to the next, I think international hotels as well, you see the similar trend in terms of the jump in performance, whether it is US or UK, which are important from our own consolidation perspective. And if you see Dubai as well, fantastic performance, even though these are all managed contracts. Now, if I look at the consolidated performance trend, I think we have given the numbers on a month-on-month basis, and you can see how the numbers grew. May was obviously the difficult month with the peak of the pandemic, but we did end the quarter with 370 crores. EBITDA was minus 123 crores as compared to 234 crores. And in terms of PBT, we were minus 315 crores, and PAT was minus 277 crores as compared to minus 280. So as I said, there was an 82 crore exceptional in the previous year. So therefore, the recovery is much better. Moving on the standalone, it mirrors the consolidated trend with a top line of 226 crores, with EBITDA of minus 78 crores, with a PBT of minus 220 crores, and a PAT of minus 190 crores. Now, I think moving on, I think, you know, as we kind of spoke about in earlier investor meets as well, if you look at what are the key narratives on the revenue side, there are really three parts of it, which is the revenue recovery, the continuation of the asset-light growth, and the new and the growth of the new and reimagined businesses. I think on the asset-light growth, we continue to do it. We expect to open 10 hotels this year. Our portfolio is 221 hotels now. Management fee is about 30 crores in Q1, and that recovery, we see a smart recovery happening this year with the revenue recovery. And on revenue recovery, our occupancy grew by 7%, that is 28.5, which is a 7 percentage point improvement. That is, the previous year was about 21 or so. The area recovery was 45% with a RevPAR recovery of 101% in standalone. I think that's very important in terms of seeing those numbers go up. And in the new and reimagined businesses, I think Ginger has done well. Cumin, as was described earlier, I think we are growing rapidly there, and I'm also at 44 numbers. So I think on the key revenue drivers, we continue to work in terms of driving the performance as we have always outlined in our previous meetings. If I go to the next slide, I think cost management to drive operating leverage has constantly been our focus. I think on a consolidated basis, our top line grew by 111% and the cost grew by 20%, mostly variable. Fixed cost, as was pointed out, was 126 crores, which is just a 3 crore increase from the previous year. We kind of kept the fixed cost near constant. Standalone also, we grew by 93 crores in top line with an expense increase of 18%. Corporate overheads went down by 12%. As we said, 54 crores as compared to 62 crores. Manpower rationalization through redeployment and reskilling is a major initiative. 254 people have been redeployed till July 21. And lease rental waivers were there this year as well. We were able to claim about 15 crores of lease rentals during the quarter, excluding what we claimed in the USA. So cost management continues to be a key imperative. As far as the international hotels are concerned, significant improvement. our top line grew from 18 crores to 57 crores in the US, resulting in a drop of EBITDA from minus 42 crores to minus 14 crores. Similarly, the UK business has also come back post the reopening, and that resulted in a lower EBITDA loss as well. Cost rationalization at the pier was very significant, as we've always said, in terms of manpower rationalization, lease renegotiation, and the surrender of the leased ballroom. And the resultant permanent cost savings in the US is actually more than 5 million, approximately 5 million per annum. Moving on, I think exceptional items are reducing. In fact, I think a couple of points to highlight is that the Fed derivative contract, which we refer to here, 6 crores of earnings, that will now disappear because we have repaid the derivative contracts and closed them. So you will not see that happening anymore again. South Africa, there is some small exchange which will keep happening because of the external loans which is there. We did sell the Mysore property, 7 crores of profit, 15 crores of top line. We didn't sell any residential flats this quarter. Lease rental concessions were about 15 crores. And it's good to see that the exceptional items are reducing on a consolidated basis. Moving on, standalone as well, you will see that the US losses have come down from 42 to 13. Cape Town loss funding has been about 4 crores. Previously, June, we did not have Cape Town consolidated. And we had lease rental concession of 13 crores. Moving on, I think performance of key subsidiaries, we have spoken about the first two, that is the US and the UK performance. PM Hotels also recovered. Of course, it was also impacted during the pandemic. And Roots Corporation did 30 crores with a near EBITDA break-even. And in July, I think the recovery has been smarter, actually. CapEx focus, as we pointed out in our capital market day, we continue to be selectively focused on CapEx with Ginger, Santa Cruz, the Taj Mahal, Man Singh, the St. James Court, and the Pierre Ballroom. I think and all this is being carefully looked at. We expect to spend in terms of cash outflows maybe about 250 to 300 crores in terms of cash outflows by the end of the year. Only time will tell in terms of how the bills are received, but we at this point of time, we think about 250 to 300 crores will be the cash outflow. Go to the next slide, please. I think in terms of management of liquidity and borrowing, we continue to have cash in lines exceeding 1,000 crores at all points of time. Our borrowings, as I said, we have repaid our cross currency swaps and no more exchange fluctuations. We maximized our ECLGS of 144 crores at attractive interest rates. We have also replaced in July the NCDs of 9.95% with much lower cost. And our unsecured borrowing, including unutilized, has been about 1,000 crores. The net debt position in standalone is about 2,600 crores and consolidated is 3,600 crores. So that is the position. I think this is broadly the financials. I have a couple of slides which you can look at, which is really the tables which we normally present. That will be part of the presentation that we will upload in any case. So you can look at it. And we are open for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone opportunity to signal for question. I would also request everyone to say their name and the company they belong to before asking a question. And we take our first question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you so much. Good evening to the management. This is Nihal Jham here from Edelweiss. So three questions from my side. First, you know, just wanted to understand on the Q1 performance better. The expectation in general was that the quarter was progressing more like, as you said, Q2 of last year, somewhere similar to September or October. But the performance in June has obviously been much better, and I think it exceeded what we achieved in October. So just to understand what components have led to this significant improved arrival in June, is it mainly coming from, again, leisure travel, and which are the cities also, while you highlighted that in the slide, just a little more sense on the performance in June, if you could you know, mention that.
The other two questions, Nihal?
Oh, I'll just mention that. Second question was on the international part, that given that they have completed the vaccination program and are progressing much better on recovery. I still see that the recovery for our international operations is similar to the Indian operations. So the divergence there. And third was related to, you know, the analyst meet about the recognition of Qmin revenues, that if I look at the business on an overall level, how is it that Qmin incrementally adds value? If I leave apart the part that if they are servicing or, you know, giving us revenues from our standalone entity, where it is a restaurant which is a part of our own business. So how is it that the revenues of Qmin get accounted? That's also something I just wanted to get a bit of insight.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So Nihal, on the growth in June, obviously the industry is still seeing a lot more leisure travel versus business or corporate. But I have to say that business and corporate has also picked up, especially in the mid-market or at the Ginger level. We saw a lot of growth, and we saw a lot of staycation in the metros. So whatever growth you've seen in, let's say, Mumbai or Delhi is driven by that. The key destinations remain, for our portfolio, I would say, all the resorts, especially Goa, Rajasthan, the palaces, Rishikesh, Shimla, Coorg. But, you know, a lot of this was also not open. So a lot of places were shut. And there are still restrictions in Mumbai for dining out till 4 p.m. And so I think the good news was June picked up, but I think more important is, as I said in the presentation, July has picked up much stronger, and we are seeing a similar trend in August, at least for the first 8 days. It is quite strong, or even stronger than July. Maybe it is because of the long weekend that is coming from 13th to 16th, but the trend is positive, and we are seeing business travel. I've seen that also on my own travel experience to the airports, that they look much more full than they looked before. Of course, there are certain caveats which don't help us, especially on our flight kitchen business like TajSATS, because for flights up to 2 hours, you're not allowed to service any meals. On the second question, you had the international part and how is the recovery. You know that London was also shut for a large part of Q1. So it only benefited from maybe the last 10 days of Q1, and so was Cape Town. So both Cape Town and London were shut. San Francisco and New York had opened. They performed better than our expectations. They both exceeded more than 40% in occupancy, but at a very good rate. Especially in New York, we are talking about rates, you know, which are the same or higher than pre-COVID level. And the demand for suites is much larger at our property in Pier. Dubai was very strong, but it is very normal that Dubai, in the summer months, it gets very hot and the performance drops for those months. Same is true for Maldives, and Sri Lanka is still struggling a bit. It'll take some time. So really, on the international front, the recovery is really driven more by, I would say, US and UK and Dubai, which these are the three cities that remain very strong for us. On Qmin, the revenues are accounted in the properties themselves. So each of the properties pays a fee to Qmin that is participating, and that entity is housed at our corporate level. And unless Giri, you want to add something on
that? No, that is fine. I think 30 crores is what we said is the total revenue. I think some part of the revenue was actually the means to smile, but I would say that when the 22%. Income comes to
Indian. See, maybe Nihal, it will help you that 30 crores includes also Qmin meals done through Anuka, which is a brand under TajSATS, which is flight kitchen business, and some of that is also done through Ginger, through the cafe, etc. That's the brand of the Ginger cafe. So So there is when we say 30 crores for Q1, it is the enterprise level. It's not all accounted for directly, and at that level, we do expect this trend to continue, even if some of the other things were to slow down, given that 3 months was 30. For the full year, enterprise revenue of anything north of 75 or even 200 is quite realistic.
Sure, Mr. Chatwal, this is helpful. I'll come back in the queue and maybe take on the Q&A part offline also. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hi, sir. Suman here from Motilal Oswal. So with the rising COVID cases currently in U.S., do you think the momentum, the business momentum is going to sustain?
Yes. In which place, Suman? Your question was a little disturbing.
Yeah, so I'm talking about the U.S. This year, COVID cases are on the rising trend. And we have seen a significant improvement in this quarter, the Q1. So do you think we in Q2 and Q3, maybe in short term, 3-4 months, do you think there will be an impact of the business in U.S. market?
So it's difficult for us to say anything about the pandemic. All I can say is that we have all experienced, I'm sure everyone has seen that in the first wave, let's say India or US, but let's say India, we had 90,000 cases and we were shut for 5 months, or it took us 5 months to recover. In the second wave, we had 400,000 cases and it took us 5 weeks to recover. So nobody knows the third wave and what's happening or not, but yes, people are getting used to living with this pandemic or COVID and then moving on with life. With the exception of, I would say, a state in the south and one in Maharashtra where we are based, almost everything has more or less opened up, with certain restrictions here or there in the number of people and wedding or events, but more or less it has opened up, and we are still at almost 40,000 cases on an average for the last week. So that's all we can say. If that is a trend, then things will stay open, especially because our presence in U.S., because that your initial question was U.S. focused, is in New York and San Francisco. We think that cities like those will be far more resilient than the suburbs,
yeah,
or the secondary and tertiary markets also within U.S.
I think I'll just add to that, which is to say that in the U.S., the pandemic is one of the unvaccinated. And if you see so far, the demand has been domestic. And countries like the U.S. will open up international travel for those who are fully vaccinated, which means what we see is that while there is the pandemic, it's in pin codes in terms of unvaccinated. And if international travel comes, that should help compensate as well, actually. So I think that's where the world is moving to in terms of allowing fully vaccinated people to travel.
Can you talk about the business guest in key business destination hotels? How the mix is changing? Are the key big clients are traveling to our hotel, staying in our hotels?
Business leisure. I think if you're talking about the mix, I think leisure business clearly was the big area in Q1. And the city hotels, we saw staycations happen actually. So I think we did see recovery in the cities based on staycations, and leisure destinations did well. Yeah.
So I'm talking about our big client started traveling. Overall, how is the mix in the business destination?
Business destinations is still largely. And you have seen one chart in the slide which talks about the city-wide performance. And that is something that, we had put up a city-wise jump for all the key cities, actually, so which we have put. If you talk of the, leisure, non-leisure, I think what I will say is that in Q1, our occupancy did go up by, 18.9%. And in non-leisure, it went up by 29.3%, actually, on the occupancy side. And on the rate side, there was a significant jump. The leisure ARR actually increased to 9,695 from 5,200, and we'll give you these numbers offline. I think you can always talk offline on this. Non-leisure also improved from 4,500 from 3,300. There was a jump both in terms of leisure and non-leisure occupancies and the ARR. We can talk offline, Sumant, in terms of specific numbers.
I'm asking how is the business travel in the key cities and how is the mix of guests? Say staycation is 6% and or our key client of say HP or Infosys is traveling and they overall the over the month it has increased or over the quarter it has increased. I'm talking about that.
I think it's evolving. I think the fully vaccinated people, slowly business travel is beginning. I think it'll take some time before the business travel goes back. I think it's gradually picking up, is what I would say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We move to our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Vikas from Antique. I have a couple of questions. First, you know, just sorry for harping back on the, you know, the data around U.S. and U.K. Clearly, you know, our revenues this quarter, it's down 65% compared to pre-COVID. We used to do a run rate of 1,000 crore, but now this quarter we did around 350 crore. Obviously for all the reasons related to lockdown and wave two and all. You know, what are the learnings, or maybe, you know, the data we are getting from U.S. and U.K. especially, you know, their things are opening up, although there has been a third wave, but the mortality there is very low. Maybe first, if you can share maybe for U.S., where do we stand in terms of revenues compared to pre-COVID? And what are the learnings? Maybe if we say that we in India, the third wave didn't come, so how should we look, I mean, about modeling the revenues going forward?
I think if I talk about U.S., very clearly, you know, there were always two parts to the U.S. recovery, Vikas. One was of course the banquet revenue, which always constituted around $30 million or so in a pre-pandemic year on a total top line of $80 million or so. This year, of course, the banquet opening may not happen because of the renovations which are there. That's a good decision also because banquets without adequate level of business, we will lose money. Hence, I think more 99% we will not open the banquet revenue. That $30 million will not be there because of a decision that we are taking and the renovations that are happening. Now that leaves what is the non-banquet business revenue. If you take the pre-pandemic revenue at around $80 million and $30 million is banquets, you're talking of $50 million. I think my own sense is that given the recovery, my own sense is that the business should come back to 50%+ in terms of occupancies, very quickly actually. Hence, I won't be surprised if U.S. ends up having a top line exceeding $30 million-$35 million. I think that's the kind of range that we are thinking about, on the U.S. recovery actually. Similarly on the U.K. as well, the run rate is now 1 million pounds a month actually, and that should only improve. My sense is again, on the U.K., I think we will go up. We did
Before it was 19.
Yeah, the first quarter. We did 112 crore. 112 crore.
It was 19. This is 24.
Yeah, 24 crores so far, no?
Yes.
So far. Yeah, that's right. I think with the 1 million pounds kind of recovery happening now, I think my sense is that U.S., U.K. has always been something like a 40 million pound market. Now the question for us is that will we achieve something like 20 million this year? I think we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes actually.
Vikas, I will add, I think we are beginning to see a lot of pickup in London. Now, pickup doesn't mean it, you cannot get cancellations if things were to go bad. But if I look at just the trend of the last 1 week, the pickup in, for us in Buckingham Gate and St. James as well as at The Pierre is quite you know, it stands out because we don't go through every hotel. When we get our reports on a daily basis, we get the top five, the top 10, you know, on cancellations on this. So London is beginning to feature constantly on it.
And this whole amber, the color code change to for countries also will help in terms of travel happening.
Does that answer your question, Vikas?
Yes, yes, it did. And secondly, the question is to Giri sir. So this quarter, the employee cost increased by 41 crores. And sequentially, obviously, this is a the revenues are down maybe around 45% Q1Q, but employee costs went up by around 4-5%. So if you can explain that, that's about it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, the employee costs went up because I think last year we had the benefit of the salary reduction which happened, the payroll cuts which happened. This year we have not implemented a payroll cut in India. I think that's been the one fundamental reason actually. I think and of course the subsidies. And of course the subsidies actually, because the subsidies are now reducing in places like the UK. So therefore both taken both together, I think gives us the 4-5% increase in employee cost actually.
Thank you.
Did you get that because?
Yes sir. Thank you. Fine.
There is a significant contribution last year from the subsidies for under the furlough scheme of the government in the Western Hemisphere, which is gone. So actually, we have become more efficient, as we showed, both on the corporate overhead as well as on the properties, because these figures are not diluted through any subsidies anymore.
So largely, it's on the employee front, they have taken out subsidies or because they have given you other subsidies as well during the lockdown and all?
No other subsidies. That was the subsidies was mainly on the employee front. And you get those in that part of the world because you have your unemployment insurance. So it's better to give subsidy than to have so many people unemployed. That's the kind of practice Europe has followed. And also US was very generous, I think, in terms of distributing checks to the employees directly, but also to businesses.
Okay. And those are foreign, right? And property tax also.
Thank you. We move to our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is now open.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Amit Agarwal from Nirmal Bang. My first question is if you can give some idea of the cash flow from operations, less interest and tax for the quarter and how was it compared to last year and last quarter. And secondly, just question on the fact that most of the growth which I've seen in June, July, including the sharp increase in ARR, including the business cities like Bombay, etc., the ARR seem to be somewhere near Jan, Feb levels. So, in a longer term, given the fact, of course, if COVID goes away, then of course we're back on track. But if it doesn't, do you expect this to be sustainable? What I'm saying is revenge tourism sustainable in a bit of a longer term? So, cash flows and revenge tourism. These are two questions. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So, let me answer the second part, and then we gather the figures on the cash flow. I think there is, you rightly pointed out, we are seeing a significant increase in the metros in terms of average rates. They've actually almost doubled coming from a very low base. So that is positive. We expect this trend to continue. I see no reason, unless there is another lockdown, complete lockdown, where you cannot move, that the rates should go back. This is a pattern of behavior in the industry for several decades, that first the occupancy comes back and then the rate follows. When you get into a downturn, first also the occupancy drops and then the rates drop in panic. So I think the industry has done quite well, and actually it would be fair to say that almost all our leisure destinations are outperforming their pre-COVID level numbers. Almost all of those that were there, they are doing better than they did in pre-COVID in on the RevPAR level. So F&B still is subdued in most of the places, but wherever we are open, for example, as we said, Goa is doing better than it did in pre-COVID at the same date and the same month in the period before COVID. So that also showed in the slide that I showed that we saw a 1,000% increase versus what the market saw. So we think this trend is there to stay, and there will be no change on this.
Yes.
In the short term, you know, in the mid and long term, things will change. So, Giri, you want to answer on cash flow?
Yeah, I can answer on cash flow. I think what has happened is that between capex, dividend, and interest, it's approximately 150 crores, and on the operating cash losses, it's been about 185 crores. So net net between the two, it's about 330 crores, and that would reconcile with your increase in net debt as well. 3,100 crores was the net debt in the month of March. That went up to 3,600. So 350, the difference of 150 is the derivative payment. So that's broadly it in terms of the way the cash flows are moving.
Sure. So this quarter, this last question, this quarter, I presume that you would be at least cash flow positive looking at the way things are right now, July, August, what you see.
That's what we believe. I think this quarter should be good in terms of cash flows. The cash burn should effectively disappear is what we believe, actually. Yes. And we don't have any major repayments also coming. So, yeah.
Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Thanks for the opportunity. This is Amandeep Singh from Ambit Capital. I have two questions. Firstly, you mentioned about reducing staff to room ratio now to around 1.09 versus say 1.53x in March 20 on overall ISCL level. Whilst you believe that a part of this cost control initiative would be sustainable, can you help us understand what could be the stable ratio once the business reaches normalized level given the type of service and experience that ISCL provides? And secondly, my second question is on the supply side. So we have seen large hotel chains and even industry reports talking about permanent reduction in supply over and above near-term deferment in supply. So in that context, can you help us understand your thoughts on the same? And also if any of your managed hotel partners saw a temporary or a permanent closure amid liquidity issues. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with the last one first, that we at this point on the call today, we are not aware of any partner where we have a temporary or a permanent closure. We have one closure in Bhutan, but that is more mandatory as by that government and the law. And sometimes certain things are seasonal, but it is not because of any kind of financial distress or any such thing. The second question is on staff to room ratio. We are very confident of maintaining these as business comes back. You are aware, and we have also communicated that we have not taken out any permanent staff in our hotels. We have carried everyone with us, and that is in line with the philosophy and of our founder. We don't take such short-term decisions and that too during a pandemic. On the contrary, as we presented, we have supported with north of 20 crores collected from our executives and our staff in a fund which we call Taj for Families, by providing people a financial help, those who were indirectly associated with us or had some kind of a contractual relationship and were not able to make money. On the supply side, yes, when the market goes through what it has gone through, the likelihood that some form of balance comes in demand and supply is a very normal consequence or outcome of the situation. So a lot of projects might get delayed and may not get built as fast as we thought they would. And this I am talking about the industry part of it and not specifically to us. And this is where this would be very normal that projects would get delayed, fundings would get delayed with the banks. There will be construction delays when your migrant workers go away, you know, your site is empty. If you have lockdowns, there is anyways a delay built in because you're not allowed to work on site. We had that delay also in our hotel that we are building ourselves, the Ginger, the flagship Ginger in Santa Cruz. But certain hotels, as you have read, would also have a permanent closure. They don't have to be necessarily big names or big brands. There will be a kind of an erosion in supply. To what extent, we will get to know in another 6 to 8 months' time after your ECLGS, you know, Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme, and the moratoriums which were offered. Once they are gone, then you have to say how many of those businesses can still stand on their own feet. So that, but a rebalance of demand and supply will happen, whether the demand increases more or the supply decreases, and that's why demand increases, that some rebalance in some form will happen. And it's actually happening as we speak.
Thank you, and all the very best. That's awesome.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Giri. Hi, Puneet. This is Achal from HSBC. So I have three questions, if I may. First of all, on the expense side, so you explained about the rise in employee cost quarter and quarter sequentially, but there was a 62 crore decline in other costs quarter and quarter. So what is going there? And on the same line, how should we expect the employee cost and the other costs going into the next quarter? So that is my first question. Secondly, you just talked about the closures and all those sort of things. So what sort of what is your expectation in terms of capacity? I mean, do you think more and more hotels going down and that will create an opportunity for you to sort of to grab more assets on the right price? But that also means that you might not succeed in asset monetization with your plans. So that is my second question. My third question is that what sort of booking trend are you seeing at the moment? Because you know, so recently I actually did my channel check and you know I found that that many of the leisure traffic are actually booking for the longer duration now. I mean, you know, so if somebody is going, I mean, previously they used to go for 2 nights and 3 nights and all. So now they are taking sort of packages which are probably, you know, more and more comfortable, probably 6 nights, 7 nights and all. I mean, so are you seeing any changes in the sort of leisure stay in terms of, you know, the kind of duration of stay and the booking trend? Thank you.
Yeah, so I think the reduction in cost, Achal, was more variable cost, actually, which is stores and some of the other variable costs, actually. And that really depends on the level of activity in the hotels, Achal, actually. That is number one. The other question you had was on asset monetization. I think we should now see asset monetizations getting kick-started again because the pricing has definitely improved. So while we are not talking about those numbers, and now I think we will kick-start that to sort of help, actually, absolutely.
So, to add to what Giri just mentioned, is also the price correction is happening because of the fear of inflation. So now it would make sense to monetize on assets. We don't want to monetize on 30, 40, 50% of replacement value. So I think it gets more interesting now. On the third one, which is the booking trend, is in the month of July has been positive, and also the first 8 days of August is very positive. We are trending at the moment ahead of July for the month of August. The booking window has become shorter, so it is difficult to say what will happen in September, October, whether this trend continues. On your second part of the question was, people are staying longer. That is absolutely right. Especially also because the mode of travel might have changed to by road.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go and stay for 2 nights and keep driving for 2 days, one day to go, one day to come back. Obviously that has become longer. People are combining business and leisure. Now, whether you call it bleisure or bizcation, that's just a kind of a vocabulary thing. Yes, this trend is because of digital meetings is happening more than it happened in the pre-COVID level. The length of stay has increased, and also some of the demand in the domestic leisure, especially in the high-paying segment, is being driven by the 25 million people who used to travel outside of India, have recently started traveling again as some countries like Switzerland, et cetera, opened up. It's still complicated. It's still you have to have had two vaccines. That is an important source of business on the leisure front, definitely in the current year.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Sorry, last question. I mean, on the Capital Markets Day, you mentioned that you will update on the capital restructuring plan during the first quarter results. Is there any update to share at the moment, or is it slightly still early?
Yeah. No. I think I can say that we were waiting for the third second wave of pandemic to sort of kind of end. Today we did discuss with the board, and I think the board has now asked us to proceed in terms of discussions. Now I think in the next 2-3 weeks, hopefully we should have a proper board meeting, but you wait for us to announce. Fundamentally today there was a full alignment in terms of doing that capital raise. I think now the next few weeks we'll just work through the quantums and ask for a separate board meeting. That's what we will do.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hi, Puneet, Giri. Shaleen this side from UBS.
Hi, Shaleen.
Hi. Most of my questions are already answered. Just maybe a bit on recovery. How would you compare this July versus a normal July? Any color?
Green. It's not amber, it's green. See, Shaleen, we are not having certain things like events are not happening. Weddings are restricted in numbers. There is no international travel at all. If you look at it that way, it is definitely even dark green.
Okay. Okay.
If your potential is only to grow 60-70% of the possible business, the question is how much are you doing out of it?
Yep. You're doing most of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Giri, again, many participants have asked this question, but just to help us model this, so your employee cost was 250 crore, ballpark this quarter, and let's say you hit a full quarter of 1,200 crore revenue, then how should we build this employee cost going forward? Like, obviously there's some variable in it, so should it go to 300, 350, 400? Like, any ballpark range can you help us with?
Can we take this offline in terms of talking about the specific model related question? Can we do that?
Sure.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hi, sir. This is Deepika from JPMorgan. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of things from my side. At what kind of occupancy, given the current environment, do you see rates, you know, going back to ADR going back to pre-COVID levels?
I think Deepika is a function of location and the market that you are in. It's not any more a function of occupancy levels. So if you can travel easy, I'm going to Bangalore tomorrow. I have double vaccine, but I still have to get a RT-PCR test done, which I got done because I have to go. But if somebody has a choice, they say, okay, let me avoid this and let's go somewhere else. So there are a lot of implications. And then comes the whole issue of leisure versus business. Now, if the family wants to go to the hills or they want to go to a beach, then you're going there. It's going to happen. Whereas if you have to do, I have to do certain travels to certain metros, I can put them in a different list of priority depending on the ease of travel and the urgency of it. So during this pandemic, the benchmark is not at what level of occupancy the rates come. And as I said, there are certain markets and a significant number of hotels that we have, almost more than 40 hotels in our system, did in July better than they did in July pre-COVID.
In terms of ARRs?
In terms of both ARR and occupancy. Because ARR only comes if occupancy level goes higher than 65-70%. Otherwise, the ARR recovery is not as fast as it should be, right? So your RevPAR would be higher in most of the like-for-like assets, which are specially driven by leisure.
Okay. And so secondly, given the fact that you're expecting large events, etc., to take longer to recover, is there a change in strategy in terms of utilizing the assets in a different way to be able to capture some of that lost revenue?
For sure, some of these initiatives like Cumin are born out of that, right? That revenue, that how you sweat your assets, how you utilize the kitchens that were empty, how you utilize the staff which is there, so the chefs, the cooks, etc. This is how Cumin was born. This is how the homestay has been working with the same staffing. So the homestays are usually close to another property that we are running, so it's the same people. It's not additional or incremental staffing on it. Of course, you cannot suddenly convert large banquet halls into warehouses or something like that. That part is missing, but to the extent possible and to the extent practical and to the extent it's a fit with the brand and the location and is a sound financial decision, such decisions we take every day.
Got it. And just the last thing, given that you're expecting, to turn cash flow positive pretty soon, should we expect debt to start reducing from these levels by year end?
I think as Giri mentioned, there are other discussions which we have in terms of restructuring that are going on. And yes, I would say it is a fair expectation to have that we will need to do something. We were unsure, and that's why we could not give any guidance, because the magnitude of second wave was such that got us all a bit on the defensive. But the recovery post second wave has come faster. Now we are concerned about the third wave, whether it comes or it doesn't come. So I think the good thing is that experience is showing that even if there was a third wave, the rebound will not take as long as it took when the pandemic started. So we are considering various options and will be in a position to communicate something very soon.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to ask a question. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hello. Hi, this is Gaurav. I'm an individual investor. I just had one observation to make in terms of customer experience at the Taj properties. The Taj Experiences card apparently can't be burned or redeemed for a lot of new features that you have, like Qmin or AMA stays. I'm not sure if this can be used. So is there any idea behind introducing the Taj Experiences card for all these other, like Khazana? I don't think we can burn this at Khazana. So is there any plan for that?
I think you make a good suggestion. Whether we use experience card or something else, maybe we should consider doing one card across all verticals, so you can use it anywhere. I think we've been discussing that, but on a different platform, on the loyalty platform. So thank you, Gaurav, for the suggestion, and we will very seriously consider and execute without delay.
Thank you.
Can we have the last couple of questions, please?
Thank you. It appears there are no further questions at this time, but as a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to ask a question. There are no additional questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back to our host for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thank you everyone for joining the call. We appreciate your engagement and support, and also the questions that you raised. We look forward to our next interaction after the Q2. Thank you very much and have a very good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.